Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.byteradio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my very special guest is Debbie N. Goldberg. She is author of Are You Ready to Listen? God, Tapping into Divine Guided Healing and Self-Love, as well as a brand new book called God's Covenant, Illuminating the Path to Your Calling. Both of these books are part of a series called A Divinely Ordered Life. Author and therapist Debbie N. Goldberg was raised in a Jewish family on Long Island, where most of her childhood and young adult life was laced with shame, guilt, abuse, and rebellion. It was these turbulent years that set the course toward spirituality that she thrives in today. As an adult, Debbie became a therapist specializing in depression, anxiety, and relationships. Through nearly two decades in a successful career and ultimately private practice, Debbie sought a path to a deeper, more meaningful life. You can find out more about her by visiting her website, which is DebbieNGoldberg.com, and I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. So with that, I'd like to welcome Debbie to the show. Good day, Debbie.
Thank you, Robert. I appreciate you having me here today. I'm very excited.
It is my pleasure, and I'm really looking forward to chatting about your books. But before we start to talk about them, and we're going to kind of talk about book number one during the first half of the show and book number two during the second half. But before we go there, I usually like to have my guests give a little bit of a background about their journey and kind of what has led them to the path of what they are doing today. So I mentioned a little bit about it in the introduction, but if you wouldn't mind sharing with the listeners just a little bit more about your journey to date.
Oh, sure. I would love to. I've always been interested in reading books about spirituality or God, but I was not a very strong seeker over the years. But I knew that there was something more. I didn't know what that was. And when I was 57, which was about 3 years ago, I had a difficult conflict with my son and his wife. And this set me on a path of trying to understand why I would be having conflict with people that I love, and that's not what I wanted. And I started to do some work actually diving inside myself. And I went to a workshop with Margaret Paul, who does something called inner bonding. It's with the inner child work. And I had, even though I was a therapist, I had never really done any kind of spiritual diving inside of myself. I had thought I had healed years of, I had been abused emotionally, physically, and sexually by family. And I thought I had worked a lot of that through. But when I went to this workshop, Margaret's idea is that you really need a spiritual guide to heal properly. And she did this meditation. And during this meditation, my spiritual guide showed up. I didn't understand what was going on, but it was Jesus. And especially being Jewish, I was conflicted by even knowing why it was Jesus, or was it really Jesus, or I was just completely confused about the whole experience I was having, since I never had anything happen like that, where through the guided imagery, you actually are visualizing where you see form, and that it's animated. So it's there's motion. There's things happening in this guided imagery, and I liken it to maybe daydreaming, that you are daydreaming, but you're using your imagination in a meditative state. So this really shook my whole being of having a spiritual guide show up. And what happened during this meditation is that that she had you make your happy place. And it was, mine is floating in a raft in a pool. And so Jesus shows up there. And then all of a sudden I have a few of my wounded inner children at different ages show up in the raft with me, and I don't even know how this is happening. And he takes my arms and he puts my arms around all of this, these parts of me, and was showing me that I need to heal them. And it had such a profound effect on me of knowing that this, that we actually have the we can speak to spirit. Or actually be with spirit. At that moment, I didn't know that we could talk to each other. And so I left that workshop, and when I went back and I practiced this meditation so that I could keep spending time with Jesus, and what happened was I just started to expand. And one day I was wondering, how come we just kind of sit here together and it feels very loving and it feels very nice, but we're not having any conversation. And why? I don't understand. And all of a sudden I heard a voice say, well, why don't you just say hi? And I said, hi, hi. And he started to talk to me. And I was, That was it. That we just had conversation after conversation and really going through a process of what I call spiritual parenting and really healing all the wounds, the misbeliefs that we have about ourselves, understanding the illusion of life, who we are, and it just keeps growing and growing and evolving, and it has completely changed my life forever.
Yeah. Wow, it sounds like it. I would think that it would be confusing, you know, being Jewish and then having, you know, Jesus come to you. It's like, okay. But in a sense, it's one of those things that if you really needed to be shaken, you know, kind of, you know, out of or into a new paradigm, then that would be the thing to do it, you know. Yeah. So now when you were talking, you mentioned spiritual parenting. In part of in your first book, Are You Ready to Listen, God, one of the chapters is let this book reparent you spiritually. So can you talk a little bit about that? Because is this the idea of being a parent to that inner child and being maybe a supportive, positive influence that maybe was lacking?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's part of it. But most of the chapter is about that. I use the term God for universal love. Everybody calls that something different. But so just so that there's no religious connotation to it. That's the term that I use, that I feel comfortable with. It is all about God or whatever spirit that you have working with you is there to undo, deprogram you from all the learning that we've learned here on Earth, that none of it is true, and basically teach you who you are. So you are actually being reparented through truth versus being parented through the illusion that all of us have received. And it is a fascinating journey of learning little by little of, you know, first of all, who you truly are. We're a divine mixture of, you know, divinity and humanity, and that we've come here to have an experiential exercise to reach higher levels of consciousness and for soul growth. And so that chapter is mostly about spiritually getting deprogrammed, basically, from what you believe life is and what your journey is all about. And the rest in the book, it also talks about you're getting reparented to understand what true love is, that you understand what divine love is. And through that divine love, you then learn how to actually receive it and then turn it inward towards yourself so that you can heal those inner children.
Okay. And I understand the necessity of deprogramming. That's one of those things that, for some of us who have had a challenging childhood, just the just that reprogramming that aspect, not, let alone the greater aspect of, who we are, what is truth and all that kind of thing. I mean, those are two different levels, but in both cases, we really kind of become indoctrinated into rather a limited and illusionary kind of vision of what life is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was pretty stuck in this reality, this Earth 3D reality. And so it was like getting hit over the head with a frying pan of, just having my eyes just opened up. And spirit does that in such a beautiful way. Like, they don't give you the whole thing. It's piece by piece.
If we had all of the answers right up front, I mean, we really wouldn't be walking. We wouldn't do the journey. It's like we kind of have to have a little bit of that at a time.
Process of learning and then integrating. So, what I found is that there's seasons where I would be being taught so much and trying to wrap my head around things of what I was learning. And then there would be seasons where I just need to integrate, and that's what the focus is. And that's where I am right now, actually, in an integration process of because, like, the knowledge and the wisdom that comes through you, it just takes a while. Sometimes it's taken me a year to integrate really understanding and holding a belief and understanding it to be true. It's fascinating, actually.
Yeah, it does. I'm sure it's a process, that you go through. Now, one of the things that I kind of had a chuckle when I first read the title of the first book. First of all, we should probably let listeners know right now that you have two books, Are You Ready to Listen? God and God's Covenant. Those are two in a series, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, so can you tell us about what the series is about and what, how it's unfolding so far?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the volume one is more about learning that we all have access to tap into the divine, and that you do that through meditation, through breath work, through being creative. There's different ways, being out in nature. There's all different ways that we can tap into that divinity, and that it's there. It's actually our job on this journey is I believe that we incarnate, because that's what Jesus has taught me, that we incarnate to come to Earth and learn these lessons through being a human being, and that that our job is actually to return home and understand that we're on this journey and remember who you are, and that we've made a contract, a pre-birth contract with God of what our lessons were to be for soul maturity, for higher consciousness, and actually what our divine purpose and gifts are to take with us. So the books are an evolution, as the volume one is all about letting people know that it's there and what it is and how to get there, how I got there. And the second book is all about this contract that we are here to fulfill this contract that we made. That's what I'm calling it, an agreement of what we wanted to do this lifetime. And the third book will be called The Scriptures of Heaven. And that one will be about that everything is in divine order. Everything is working perfectly. And that it's about expanding our worldview and really getting deeper into higher levels of consciousness. The second book goes into higher levels of consciousness. The third one will go into more.
Okay. Now, the number one is, are you ready to listen? And I was going to say that I had to chuckle at that one, because it was probably in the mid-90s or early 90s that I had a Whole Life Expo, and had a booth there. And at the very end, all the people who had booths were kind of hanging around. And I had met this woman from Texas who was a psychic, and she asked if she had known that I had my aura picture taken, and she did aura readings. I said, "Oh, do you want me to do yours?" I said, "Okay, sure." So I quickly went and got it, and she started doing a reading, and then she shifted during the reading. She shifted from, you know, her regular reading talk to actually channeling my guides. And it was a shock to her, because she had been trying to channel and never had been able to. So, but one of the things that was really interesting during that is that the message that my guides had for me was that they keep talking to me, but I'm not listening. You know?
Uh-huh.
So it's like,
right.
and I just laughed, because, you know, and so when I read your title, Are You Ready to Listen? It just made me laugh, because, that's part of, that's in one sense, you know, I think we're all receiving that guidance, that talk, but the listening is a real art and a challenge. So,
uh-huh.
And I understand that you have a special kind of circumstances when it comes to listening, and maybe why it was important for you.
Right. Well, you know, first of all, let's see. When I awoke, it was September of 2014 when I went to that workshop, and Jesus woke me up. And then it must have been November, of like 2 months later. And I was sick in bed for about a week. And I decided I was going to bombard myself with learning and try to break through some more spiritually. And I had been praying and asking God to tell me what my gifts
mm-hmm.
are, what my purpose is. And all of a sudden I heard, well, are you ready to listen? And I was like, okay, I know exactly what he's talking about, because all my life my ears were closed.
Yeah.
And yeah. And so I decided I was going to make that the title, because this is what's happening with all of us, is like, just like you said, we are being spoken to all day long, and we don't hear it. We're just blocking it, and I talk a lot about the ego, and letting people know that the ego is divinely orchestrated to bring contrast to us, and help us learn our lessons. And all it does is just keep blocking us from that spiritual connection. And it does it by actually burying our heart. Like, you know, all these things happen to us and our heart just keeps shrinking and shrinking, meaning it just closed. It's not open the way that it needs to be. And this whole process is really about opening our heart and being a clear channel for who we are.
Yeah. You know, when it comes to the ego, you know, it's it has a purpose. I mean, you know, this is one of the things where, you know, the the ego separates us from, or basically it helps define us in a sense for sake of, you know, of identity in a way, you know, but mm-hmm. but when it comes time to recognizing us as being a part of the whole and just maybe, you know, a small sliver in the scheme of things, then it's you know, it goes into protection mode and says, wait a minute, you know, you can't go there, you know, because mm-hmm. I'm saying, you know, you are you, you know, and so, you know, there are, in one sense, it, you know, the idea to me, it seems, you know, that when we incarnate, you know, that sets the stage for separation, you know, mm-hmm. in the sense that we're individuals, we're born, and then all of a sudden, you know, we go through this process of development of individuality, you know, getting our own personal views of life and what is and what isn't, you know, real. And then we mm-hmm. go, you know, develop to the point of recognizing that we're part of the whole, that journey, you know. And I think, right. you know, when you said that, you know, the purpose is for soul development and consciousness and raising our consciousness, to me it's just... It's kind of like, you know, God's plan is to send us as many different souls out as possible to get as many different perspectives on how to do things differently, how to love unconditionally, and what works, what uh-huh. doesn't work, you know. And
right.
So, yeah, so, you know, in that sense, I mean, it makes sense if we can kind of recognize that the ego has a purpose, you know, it...
Mm-hmm.
It is, you know, it's great in many cases, but then when it comes to the point of soul development and that expansive view, that's when the heart has to kick in rather than the mind.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah.
It is. It's a journey. We're all on a journey, whether we know it or not. And I think from what I've learned is some of us wake up and some of us don't this lifetime, and that there's no wrong or right to anybody's journey, that there's no force with it. There's been this, I guess I look at it like an obstacle course that the soul forgets upon birth, that it's divine and that it's merged with this human form, although I believe everything is an illusion, but it is part of the illusion that this is what happens, and that it needs to navigate and overcome the ego. And basically what we're supposed to get to is that the highest part of us is actually in control of all of these different facets of ourself.
Yeah.
And,
you know, the idea of it forgetting everything, you know, to me it's like, you know, some of the best inventions and most creative thought comes from out of the box, you know, from people who, so in a sense that, you know, we're born into knowing everything or knowing how things are, where is the original thought going to come in? Where are we going to do something different? If in a way, it's kind of like if we come in knowing everything, we're already then pre-programmed, you know.
Right.
And
right.
And you're not going to learn anything.
Mhm. Yeah. That's true. So that it wouldn't be such a journey if we
really
remembered everything. Yeah, it's all purposeful,
yeah.
And it's, you know. It's something that we do over and over again. Jesus says that knowledge is actually infinite, and that is why we keep incarnating, because we just keep going to higher levels of consciousness. And so the first book is mostly about setting the stage of, I tell people to look at it as, we each have our own story, and we came into this life with this story. The soul has picked what our story of growing up is going to be, who our parents are, and lots of other people that are involved in our journey through life, our spouse, children. Our children pick us. We pick our parents, so our children pick us. And that we develop this story of what our life is about. And it is starting to realize that it is just a story, that we are the author of, you want to call it a movie, a play, we're the author of it, we're the screenwriter, we are the director, and that we have the power to, if we don't like what our story is, then we have the power to change it. And we do that by create whatever on the outside we're thinking on the inside. So whatever our belief system is then creating this world on the outside. So
yeah,
that book is
yeah,
setting that stage for people to say, to look at and say, this is what's actually happening. And it's okay to wake up now, rather than having to have something desperate happen before you wake up, because that's normally what happens is we have, you know, trauma or some desperation or some suffering happen before we wake up. And now it, the idea is, because Jesus dictated these books to me last year, and I've never written before, and nor did I ever think writing would be part of it, but this is part of my soul's contract, is that I was to write these books that have been dictated by him. And so it's about, there's something going on right now of people needing to wake up and ascend, because the amount of anger and hatred and rage and killing in this world is over the top, and that it needs to become transmuted, that all of that energy. So the more that people wake up and understand that's what's happening, which I talk about in the second book, then we have the opportunity to clear some, because it's all energy.
Yeah. 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 You know, the idea, I mean, first of all, if people can, like you said, in reading the book, understand, you know, the script may have been written, but, you know, you can always change the script. And like you say, if you're the director, you know, you can change the scene. You know, you can change, you know, which act and who the actors are. And, you know, there's a lot of things that you can do to make the play more fitting, you know, for you. And it is best to do that before you get the 2x4 across the head, you know.
Right.
And you know, that's a very painful way to wake up. So,
right.
But you know, for some people, that is what, in a way, that's kind of what's needed for some people. I mean, some people are just,
yeah,
you know, just entrenched, you know, in their drama, that, you know, that they just, I mean, it takes something major to shift. And, you know, I've had so many people on the show whose lives have shifted because of trauma, you know, and, you know, so, you know, in one sense, it's good that the shift happened, you know, but again, you know, I'm one that if you can always change peacefully, then that's a great
right
way to do it. Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah. Well, one of the things that you talk about in book one, and then we're going to take a break, and then when we come back, we'll start talking about book two. And I do want to also let the listeners know that if you have any questions for Deb, you can call in at 619-789-4359. And for those of you listening live in the chat room, if you have any questions, feel free to type them in. And so one of the things, Deb, that you talk about in book number one, that I think is along the lines of that 2x4, and that is sickness. Can you talk a little bit about what you were told, what you were dictated, mm-hmm. About sickness and where it comes from.
Mm-hmm. And it comes from a belief system of, and all of this stuff that we're doing in our head, the drama, the anxiety, the worry, the suffering, is actually creating sickness within our body. And that, and we don't realize that that's what's creating all of it. And I talked about, you know, going through a time in my life, probably, I don't know, 6-7 years ago, where I recognized that I had been going at such a pace of a level of stress that I didn't realize I had anxiety since 5 years old. And when I started to wake up and go through this process 3 years ago, all of that anxiety came flooding through me, and I didn't even know that I was carrying that inside of me because I had done such a great job at repressing, suppressing all of my feelings, and being so focused on work and driven, and that I was happy with my life and what I was doing, not knowing unconsciously I had all of this junk going on. I just completely detached from my body. And this is what a lot of us are doing by staying stuck in our head. And it's also a belief system, because everything is energy. We are all energy. Everything. Everything's energy. We are all God's energy. We are made from God's energy. Our spirit is God's spirit. And we are pure. And the only thing that would be different is that as we're growing in soul growth, is that our energy vibrates at different levels. And so we can have a more dense vibration of would be negative things like anger or fear, anything that's fear-based vibrates at a lower, denser energy. And everything that's love and joy vibrates at a very light energy. And so our soul growth actually changes by maturing and reaching higher levels of consciousness. You're actually changing the vibration of how your energy feels. And so energy is also thoughts and feelings. And these thoughts and feelings, we've grown up with knowing, oh, you get older, you get sick, or this one's in my family, or if I eat this, or if I do this, this can happen, and this disease and that disease. This is all programming. This is all programming that we believe, and we don't even realize that it's the toll that it's taking on us just from believing it. And then when you live mm-hmm. a life of stress, the stress is what kills you.
Oh, yeah.
It's all the adrenaline and the cortisol that's running through your body. Yeah. That's actually an addiction.
Yes. I had a medical doctor on the show a few weeks back, and we were talking about stress. And he had quoted a study where they were looking at stress and the biochemical reactions that happened. And it was interesting. In the study, there were, I'm not sure how many people, there were like a dozen people. And they were shown distressing images. And out of the 11, and I'm not sure the numbers, but the majority of them, except for one, had demonstrated the physical attributes that you would think of stress, the sweating, the nervousness, you know, the jittery, all of those kinds of things were visible, except for this one woman. And she was like calm as a cucumber on the outside. And when they went and talked to each person, they all indicated, the 11 indicated how distressed they were by seeing the images. The woman was not. But when they were looking at the biochemical reactions, she exhibited the same types of stress-related changes that she had just been so conditioned to, mm-hmm. you know, living with stress that, I mean, on the outside, it didn't look like there was anything going on. But within her brain, everything was chemically was shooting off, you know. So, mm-hmm. I mean, to me, it was just amazing how we can, as individuals, become so conditioned to stress that we don't even realize we're stressed when we are.
Right. And it is fascinating because that's the way I live my life. And, you know, you go back to my childhood, my dad was very stressful to be around. He was emotionally and physically abusive, and my mom was more submissive and just, you know, like angry to herself. And so children feel your vibration. Children feel your energy in the house. And so you have this mixture of that's what was going on in my house that I absorbed, of course, as a child, and which created a lot of stress and anxiety for me, because what do I do with that energy? I don't know. You know, I became very hyper. I couldn't focus. I couldn't sit still. I was afraid all the time. And this is what's going on. We're passing it down genetically. It's generationally transmitted energy just from emitting, just from seeing, just from being around. That energy is getting absorbed by children, and then you go through your own life and you have your own experiences and you have other people around you, and then you have some more mixture of energy. And I had to learn how to not show my feelings because they were not accepted in my house, which lots of us grew up mm-hmm. that way. You know,
exactly.
You couldn't act out. You couldn't say how you feel. You know, you should be seen and not heard. It was all that old type of parenting. And it just left these messages of, like, I can't be me. I have to perform and I have to be acceptable. I have to do what other people want me to do. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, goodness. Well, we're a little past halftime, so I want to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about book number two, God's Covenant. Okay?
Sounds great.
Great. Okay, everyone, stay tuned. We'll be right back after this very brief break. Hello, this is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us, and hope that you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder that we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, www.biteradio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link to the approximately 1,000 shows that we have had over the past 5 years. Our show is available as a free podcast in the iTunes Store. You can subscribe there. Or even quicker, there is a link to our show on iTunes on our website homepage. We are also on many social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, etc. And we have buttons to those platforms on the top of our homepage. And finally, also on the site is a link to the great products we provide. Books, greeting cards, photography, and a wellness store with essential oils and personal and spa products. There is so much for you to explore and enjoy on our website, www.biteradio.me. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests, and especially today's guest. And now, back to the show. Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us. Again, today my very special guest is Debbie N. Goldberg, and she is author of two books in a series of three so far. The first one is Are You Ready to Listen? God, Tapping into Divinely Guided Healing and Self-Love. And book number two, which was just released, is called God's Covenant, Illuminating the Path to Your Calling. And again, there are two in a three-book series called A Divinely Ordered Life. Again, you can find out more about Deb by visiting her website, which is debbiengoldberg.com. And again, there is a direct link to her website in the show page description. And also, Deb is one of several hosts on Angel Heart Radio, here on Blog Talk Radio. So definitely tune in to that show. And we're back, Deb.
Well, thank you, Robert. And yes, I'll plug you because you'll be on my show Thursday evening talking about bringing inspirations to Earth.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, me too.
Great.
So
Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern. 7 p.m. Eastern on Thursday for you folks. Okay.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
Definitely. I was just thinking about just the process of even writing these books, I think, is an interesting story. When I was given them last February of 2016, I was still, you know, in such a place of fear of what I was learning and that I was actually putting myself out there, and I was saying that Jesus dictated books to me. And the lessons that I had to learn of not letting other people decide who I am and whether I'm crazy or not or whatever, it was really an interesting lesson for me. And I was not ready to own the books. I put them out under Creating a Life Worth Living, the three books, was the series. And I could not put myself in those books because I was like, okay, these are Jesus's books. This is what Jesus told me. Here you go. You got them.
Uh-huh.
And I just, you know, I just couldn't do it because I was so frightened about putting myself out there in that kind of way. And then I had an opportunity to republish this past fall when I met a different publisher, when we decided to change the titles, change the book covers, and that gave me an opportunity to actually rewrite the books and put my story into them. And then I went through a process of, well, if I put the word God on the books, then some people that don't believe in God or they're going to think it's a religious book, and they're not, they're spiritual, then, you know, they might not read my book because it says God on it, versus where some people might because it does. And I was trying not to leave anybody out, and I tormented myself with the title. And then I finally realized that, you know, this in my heart, it needs to say God on it because that is my term for universal love, and I'm just going to do it. And so Are You Ready to Listen? God's Covenant and the Scriptures of Heaven, to me, are like, I am putting out a whole different philosophy here that looks as if it's religious, but it is not. It is a spiritual way of defining our life here and what our soul is and what universal love is. Anyway, I thought I'd just share that with you.
Well, you know, and I'm glad that you did, because one of the things that when it comes to having guests on my show, I love spiritual guests. But guests who are religiously dogmatic, I am not real keen on having that. The one thing that whenever someone sends in their information, pitches themselves as, or a publicist pitches an author as a guest, there's God in the title or in the description or that kind of thing, I really delve in deeper to see exactly what it's about. And this just might be my thing, you know. But I mean, mm-hmm. I did have one person who was just very, Bible banging. I mean, you know, that's just the term that, you know. I mean, and it was one of these cases where I went through and looked at the information, and I was kind of like, do I or don't I? And, you know, and it was, I decided to do the show, and it ended up being somebody who it was just proselytizing. They were just basically, you know, pushing the Bible and all of the dogmatic thinking that I don't believe in, you know. And and then shortly after that, I was bombarded, literally bombarded with people who were, you know, in the same genre, same kind of, you know, thinking. And it was just, and it made me just very skittish when it came to, you know, because, you know, I mean, you know, I do believe in God or a universal power or, you know, whatever term one wants to use. You know, I believe there is that divine creative intelligence, you know, but, you know, when it comes to, you know, pushing one's belief over another, that, you know, unless you believe the way that I do, you're not getting to heaven, or you're going to go to hell, and all that stuff, you know. So, so I mean, I can understand your struggle, you know, with having God in the title, and then, you know, trying to decide who was going to read it or not. But ultimately, you went with your truth and what you were putting out, and that's the way that it should be.
Right, because this is all like, it's my way of saying programming. This is, it's like deprogramming. We've all been programmed to believe certain things about religion and God and Jesus. Even when I say, you know, that Jesus is my God, people just assume that I'm Christian. And I'm like, no, I'm not Christian. And Jesus, you know, if people want to believe Jesus belongs to Christianity, that's fine. But Jesus is actually universal, and this is a different way of looking at that, that Jesus lives in everybody just like we live in everybody. God lives in everybody, we live in everybody. We're a collective consciousness, so we're one energy. And so, yeah, it was a real, you know, I decided, well, maybe this is me just going up against the grain, but because the titles really look as if they're Christian, and they're not. It is a new God's covenant. It's a new way of looking at what the agreement is that we made as a soul, and the scripture of, like, everything is in divine order, and we are here to co-create love with God. So, yeah.
You know, I think this was all a plan by Jesus to use a Jewish woman to get into the heads of the people, to awaken people.
Well, no. That would be interesting,
I'm just picking with you. You know, but I mean, it's, you know, it's one of those things, though, you know, for you know, and it's not everyone. Not everyone is dogmatic and very, you know, strict in their beliefs. You know, there are so many people that are really opening up to recognizing universal truths and, you know, and the importance of unconditional love, you know, those kinds of things. So that, you know, so and it is one of those things that it's a process, you know, and I think that collective consciousness is moving in that direction, and then anything that we can do to assist that movement is really should be our calling in a way.
Yes. Yeah. And that's what it is. It's you're spreading God's love and trying to get everybody to ascend out of an ego state, basically.
Yeah, so now book number two is God's Covenant, Illuminating the Path to Your Calling. So you obviously used covenant for that, the agreement, you know, that we make prior to being incarnated. In your learning, what have you learned about that we have this agreement? What have you learned about our ability to go along with the plan, to alter the plan, to not go as planned? You know, what kind of things have you learned? Yeah, about the idea, because, you know, things shift, you know.
Yes, yeah, right. And so we've all been given gifts and talents that we're supposed to be bringing to this world. This, and it's part of the contract. And it's just how we express love and joy and share with others. And whether that's, you know, through doing something artsy or being the best person at work you can be, or the being the best parent you could be, it is really just passing through divine love. And whatever else that was made for you to do this lifetime. Now, going to go in and have a relationship with God or spirit, this is what needs to happen. And this actually needs to, it takes work to spend time each day meditating to find out, you know, what are you being groomed for? What were you called to do? Do you need to learn skills how to do that? I never knew that I had to write books, and, you know, but they were dictated, so it made it easier than me just coming out with it on my own. But you have to actually keep developing this relationship and going deeper and deeper and deeper. And just when you think you're deep enough, it's not deep enough. And because the idea is to keep unearthing yourself and learning and growing until you unearth all of these gems and gifts that were there that you were supposed to be bringing. And lots of us are trying to do that in our own way. And what I find is to go in and really do all the healing work that needs to happen, most of us don't want to do it because we don't want to take the time to do it. And the ego tells us that we don't know, we can't deal with our pain. We can't, because, you know, you're unearthing, actually looking at your shadow side. You're doing all of this stuff that's got your soul buried, your spirit buried, that you have to uncover it. And then sometimes things just happen, like, you know, I awoke the way I did, or somebody else awakes the way that they did, but you're actually supposed to be deepening that relationship daily.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, when it comes time to, you know, you talked about the shadow self, you know, that side of us that we don't necessarily want to look at. I'm of the belief that, you know, that really plays an important role in, because there is this light, dark, you know, or light shadow kind of play back and forth that goes on. And I think that having a shadow self or some of those things within ourselves that we really don't want to look at, you know, that they maybe aren't in the highest light, you know, as possible. Having that be a part of us, number one, we can have a personal understanding and empathy for those whose shadows, who are more shadow than light. You know,
right.
When you see them, you know that is the case. You know, we can have a personal understanding of that, and, you know,
yeah.
And also, to me, it gives us something to transmute, to transform, and that the idea that we can transform and that we have the power to transform can, once we recognize that, it can take us anywhere.
Yeah, you are totally right. It is very powerful. And basically, that's what one of the things we're here to do is to transform all energy to love. And we only have to do it with ourselves. And we do that by balancing our energy. So Jesus gave me an interesting way of understanding, and it's still coming together for me. But and I talk about this in book 2, and I'll do some more in book 3. But he gave me a really interesting way of understanding that we have a soul blueprint. And that is through all the incarnations, what we've accumulated in soul growth and talents and gifts. Okay? So that would be a soul blueprint. Then he said there's a soul print. And the soul print is, if since we're all energy, if you look at since the beginning of time, when time was dark and there was so much fear and all the fears and misbeliefs that we have about ourselves and others, or I have to struggle, or there's lack, or I'm going to be abandoned and rejected. And it all has to do really with the feeling that you're separated from God, which is not true. It's the illusion. So the soul print is this big ball of negative, energetic belief systems that have been believed since the beginning of time. And every time somebody reacted to it or pushed it down, like not wanting to deal with it, created a more bigger, powerful energy. And this has been going on since the beginning of time. So this is imprinted in us, sort of like our DNA, this negative energy, and that is what we're battling all the time. And then I came up with this word energetic recidivism, because this energy, this soul print energy, just over and over and over again through our day, because it's resonating inside of us, and collectively, we all have the same beliefs. We all think the same thoughts. We have our own little unique ways because we have our own little life. But the idea is that by understanding that we are just reacting to negative energy and it needs to be transformed to love and transmuted so it gets dissipated. But this energy is so powerful. Like, it's not going away. It just keeps recycling. And this is what the soul is trying to navigate, because what Jesus said is that all of this energy is so primitive, and that it actually, and it's purposeful because it fuels the ego. All of this negative energy fuels the ego to create the illusion that we see.
Wow.
That's a lot to wrap your head around.
It is definitely food for thought, you know, and action afterwards. But I like the topics in book number two, God's Covenant. I mean, it really covers some just really important issues. The importance of forgiveness. You know, how you talked about the inherited energetic belief systems. You know, those are some things. And let it be, let it go. Those are some really great topics in the second book, The Covenant. So people, I think, would really enjoy reading that. And it definitely, again, give food for thought. And once you become aware of your truth, you know, then you can start living a fuller life, you know, and I think that's what everyone really would like to have done, to have, to experience.
Certainly.
Yeah. Well, Deb, we're toward the end of the show. We've gone on for about an hour here, so this has really been great. Now, are there any kind of special final thoughts that you may want to leave with the listeners? Any words of wisdom?
Yeah, I just like to let people know that they are so loved, that we're not walking here by ourselves, that we each have teams of spiritual guides that are just waiting for us to hear them, that all we have to do is invite them in. They won't force themselves. We have to ask. We have to say, okay, I want a relationship. I want to hear you. I want to be guided. And then start to actually feel the love that is there, and to start healing. And actually, nobody's broken. What we're healing is the belief system that we have that we are broken, so that you could come into wholeness and actually create the life that you want to live and that you were made to live. So that is what I want to share with everyone.
Well, great. Thank you very much. And I look forward to flipping the chairs and being a guest on your show on Angel Heart Radio on Thursday, the 13th at 7 p.m. So everyone listening, tune in for that, and we'll have another discussion, another great discussion,
yeah.
Different topic, but great discussion. So, well, thank you again,
yeah.
Deb. I really enjoyed speaking with you.
Thank you, Robert. I really appreciate you having me here today.
It's my pleasure. Again, everyone, today my very special guest has been Debbie N. Goldberg, and we've been talking about her two books. The first one is Are You Ready to Listen? God, Tapping into Divinely Guided Healing and Self-Love. And the second one is God's Covenant, Illuminating the Path to Your Calling. And again, you can find out more by visiting her website, which is DebbieNGoldberg.com. And again, I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. So everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again, thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's BITERADIO.ME. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Bite Radio Me. And our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.